the heavy lifting, I believe, is done.
I'd like to thank you once again for coming in and sharing with us this fresh information about how the rally went and hopefully the conclusion of your bargaining. Well, Sister Audrey, did you want to go ahead and close us out?
Yes, the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. We have suspended our face-to-face meeting and are utilizing Google Meets to conduct our monthly meetings. Our next meeting will be held May the 9th, 2023. Come check us out at Juneteenth, Good in the Hood, and the Dr. Charles Drew Blood Drive on the weekends of June 17th and 18th, and June 24th and 25th.
All right, listeners, and also closing us out, our email address is orcbtu10, and that's the number 10, at gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook at, and it's at the at sign, orcbtu. We would love to hear from you. Please join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers in the Pacific Northwest. And Brother Psalm, thank you, thank you, thank you for being our guest on the show tonight. I can hear in your voice not only your love and admiration for your members, but your hardcore love and wanting to do everything possible for your students in your community. The best of luck to you and your union with your ratification vote. And with that, I'm going to close us out with our saying going out. We'll see y'all next month. Holla!
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening, you're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. My name is Emma Lugo and I use she and her pronouns. And tonight we're talking with Kayla Victor. Kayla, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Kayla, there's an event that's happening in Portland this week called Fostering Community Connections, and it's going to be held over at Tabor Space on May 4th. Can you tell us about that event?
Yes, we're very excited. We're bringing together stakeholders, which hopefully will include law enforcement personnel, advocacy groups, educators, families of prisoners, local residents, anybody that's working to make a safer community and make it more a cohesive community.
Great. And what is this? So this is part of the International Prisoners Family Conference. Can you tell us, what is the International Prisoners Family Conference?
The International Prisoners Family Conference was founded by my mom, Carolyn Esparza, who recently passed away. And so I've taken over as the chair. She had started it as Community Solutions of El Paso and realized that there was a lot of children would had a parent that was incarcerated, and she really wanted to make a difference in the community. So what she did was she started that nonprofit and really started working that. And then she realized that was also impacting the family. So what she did is she started a conference 15 years ago, and they called it the International Prisoners Family Conference. And the idea was to bring together family members and also anybody that had any issues working with, somebody that had a person that was incarcerated, which goes out into the community. So you could be sitting next to somebody in church is what she thought. You could be going to the grocery store. And she really wanted to, what she was trying to do is to really work towards having a a safer and healthier community and really work towards bringing the community together to work with children of incarcerated with an incarcerated parent.
Yeah. Yeah, so your mom was a real force of nature. I mean, how did she, I've always been kind of curious. I mean, since I know you're also having a kind of a celebration of life for your mom that same week. What do you think it was within your mom that like got her to do this really amazing work of organizing and putting together an entire organization that was dedicated to supporting the families of people who are incarcerated?
She worked as a social worker, and she was working in the maximum security of juvenile offenders, and really realized that a lot of the children that were incarcerated didn't have family members that were supporting them. Texas was large, so sometimes people would be sent to the facility and their family member may have lived like 500 miles away, so they didn't come very often. So she really saw the impact firsthand of what that did. And the bottom line is when it comes to recidivism in adults, I guess it'd be more likely is, you know, we're right now between 83% and 87%. Every time I look at the numbers, they continue to keep rising. And I think we're at 87% now. And 95% of people are coming back into the communities. And that's really what she wanted to do, is to make sure that we had safer communities and that the families had a place to go. You know, they have special issues, obviously. So she really wanted to make sure that people had a special place to go to talk about those issues. You know, I mean, when somebody calls from a facility, you don't know when that person's going to call. So when somebody gets up and says, I got to go, I'm going to take this phone call, people in the room understand. And so what ended up happening with the conference is she ended up pulling these people together. And like I said, we're at the 15th year at this point. And it's become a family. I mean, it's actually like a family reunion that you actually enjoy going to. So it's not family members fighting, it's actually family members coming together. And I've seen the best of humanity when it comes to being in the room and people wanting to work to make the world a better place.
So the event that's happening on May 4th here in Portland, is that the actual conference or is that something else?
It's something else. What we wanted to do is we knew that we were going to have some family members that were attending my mom's life celebration. And so we really wanted to have a place for them to get together because we're going to do our conference again this year virtually. The board has decided that it would be in the best interest with everything that's going on this year. It's just to have another virtual. And then hopefully 2024, what we're planning to do is to be back in person. And it's hard to have a family reunion on Zoom. I mean, we personally happen to have a family call every week for my personal family, but what we want to do is we really want to bring together people that are in this community and really start, even if we need to do little small groups across the country, is what we're hoping to do. And this will be our first step is to taking that step and really trying to build community around not just people that have a loved one that's incarcerated, but people that are working and have a passion and really want to help.
So the event that's happening this week, is that on Zoom or is that in person?
That's in person. So we've had people that have registered that have never attended a conference that I know that are coming from a couple hundred miles away. So it's going to be exciting. We have people that have really shown some interest, and there was some interest that people wanted to do this on Zoom, but this is really a hands-on experience. Carrie Corbett Owen, who's she's a world-renowned facilitator and speaker, and she's just amazing. She's from South Africa, so it's always great to listen to her.
So the conference that's happening on May 4th here in Portland, who is that?
Well, we really would like to have people that have a loved one that's incarcerated to attend. But what we would also like to do is to invite law enforcement, advocacy groups, educators, anybody that basically one in two people have been incarcerated or know somebody that's been incarcerated. So the person sitting next to you or at work, standing next to you or whatever. So really what we're hoping to do is to bring together law enforcement, advocacy groups, educators, families with a loved one that's incarcerated, And family doesn't mean that necessarily a biological family, but it could be a chosen family member that's incarcerated. You know, it could be your friend or your best friend. It could be anybody, but it's anybody that's been impacted by incarceration is really who we're reaching out to.
Great. And what would people hope to find at this event? What's going to happen?
We can't give away the secret sauce, but what Carrie Corbett Owen's going to be doing is talking with the audience. And it will be very interactive. So we'll have an opportunity. I mean, she's a clinical psychologist, so I don't know what her secret sauce is, but she just makes life fun. And I think sometimes we forget about having that opportunity to have fun when we're trying to work towards a cause.
Great. So this is really focused on people who either maybe have a loved one who's been incarcerated or people who work in some way with the criminal justice system.
Yes.
Absolutely. And so it sounds like it also kind of models the larger Prisoners Family Conference in the sense that, I mean, you exist both to provide support for the families of people who have loved ones who are incarcerated, but you also kind of address the broader picture of everyone who has some sort of interaction with the criminal justice system.
Absolutely.
And is there, so the larger group, the International Prisoners Family Conference, is that based in Oregon? Or, I mean, I know this is international, but is there a particular place where you do most of your work? Is it mostly in the United States?
It's mostly in the United States, but that's really not true. I mean, we have a lot of people and we have a lot of connections on the international. What's grown from the conference that I've seen, which is, I think, has been amazing that my mom was able to accomplish. And it wasn't even her that she'll say it wasn't even her that accomplished it. It was really a group of people that cared that came together and started working towards a cause. And it was basically small steps. And at the conference, they used to meet in the evenings. I was like, I've never seen anybody go to a conference and they actually want to like stay there. They never wanted to leave. They just wanted to continue to keep working towards a cause. And so what they would do is they would get together at night and they would work towards advocacy efforts. And so we have this advocacy arm, the Advocacy in Action, that's run by Dr. Avon Hart Johnson. So she's working towards that. The international component came together by a gentleman by the name of Francis Subia, who reached out to international groups and had them come to the conference. And they started their organization based off of attending the Prisoners Family Conference and coming together. And so a lot of the people that are in the United States actually have gone and participated worldwide basically now. And then we've got some support groups. So Barbara Allen and Julia Lazarick, who you've interviewed in the past, they've come together and they have support groups called Prisoner Families Alliance, and they've really come together. So a lot of things have grown from the conference, which has been pretty amazing.
And I see that you address a whole spectrum of issues related to incarceration, including children and adult children of prisoners, victims of crime, of course, prison family members, law enforcement, medical professionals, mental health professionals, even judges. Could you talk about some of those different, really complex aspects of what is the community of people who are affected by incarceration?
Well, like I said, I mean, one in two people has been impacted directly by incarceration. So we kind of like take a look at one point when we figured that 38 people in your immediate group of people that you know has been impacted by incarceration. And it could be, you know, like it could be your neighbor, it could be the person that you talk to at the grocery store. You just don't, you know, you could be sitting next to somebody at whatever religious service that you're attending. You just don't know who's been impacted. And I had a call yesterday with somebody and we were talking about graphics designs, and he happened to be an attorney, and I didn't realize it, but he actually works with defending people. He worked for the DA's office at one point and he didn't like seeing what was happening. And so he went out on his own so that he could basically go back and try to actually help people, which I thought was pretty fascinating. You just never know who you're going to be talking to that's been impacted.
It seems like we're living in sort of an interesting time right now in our culture where the recent racial justice movement really highlighted and kind of lifted up awareness of how incarceration affects especially BIPOC communities. And at the same time, we're also starting to see sort of a backlash against that movement with increased discussion about the need for more police, tougher laws, more sentencing, more enforcement. Can you talk about sort of the complex nature of this issue? I mean, it's an issue that people have really strong feelings about.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what I can talk about is people that have actually spoken at the conference in the past. I mean, one of the people I just talked to the other day, Scott Weisenbacher, who's in the Denton area, which is outside of Dallas. I just had a conversation with him today, and he's really started to break the barriers of bringing together their group with law enforcement. And he runs a sober living house in Denton, and they've expanded their services, and they are working, which is amazing. He just sent out some information the other day about a program called Ignite, and he's very excited about it. He said that they're working with the sheriff's department, they're working with the drug courts, and they're really working to not put people into prison, but to try to give them help. There's a lot of issues around people with chemical dependencies, and so he's working to change that in their area. They're hoping to, you know, he's actually attending, which I think is fascinating. He's attending the Sheriff's Association's conference. So I think we really have to work together in order to have any impact on our communities. We really have to be willing to sit back, listen to what, you know, there's not an us versus them. It's our community. It's where we all live. I mean, police officers shop in our grocery stores. They go to our churches. They're sitting next to us. And somehow we need to just, you know, it's like families fighting, right? You know, we can't do that all the time. We have to somehow get to a point where we come together and we work towards making all of our families better. You know, I mean, I've listened to conversations that my mom had in the past with somebody that had a person that was going to be incarcerated for the rest of their lives. And they were concerned for their, obviously for their family member, but they were also concerned about the guards in the jail. They wanted to go and talk to the associations because those people, if they don't realize it or not, they are spending time in prison as well. Yeah. And so until that gets better, our society is never going to get better. People have to come together and really work towards, you know, making a difference and an impact in their community. And they can do that by sitting down and listening and having a conversation. And that's what we hope to accomplish, is to have people not say it's us versus them.
Yeah. If you've ever been inside of a facility, you realize the prison guards are probably the most regular contact that adults in custody have with people who are also spending time in the outside world. I know that COVID has really affected everything. And the problem is that with the kind of carceral system that we have, if we have high turnover, if we don't have fully staffed institutions, then the kinds of programs that we're trying to get into the institutions to improve people's lives don't happen. That's when you start hearing about cuts to even really simple things like salons or, you know, basic training programs. I mean, not to even count talking about education. Kayla, if you could see, like, in a really broad sense, like things that would improve the condition of adults in custody in the next 10 years, what would you see as some really broad sort of general things that would make a positive impact?
That's a great question. I guess part of the problem, I think, is we have overcrowding in prisons. So, I mean, I think that that's part of it. And I think that's something that definitely is unsafe, and those living conditions are not safe. I mean, obviously, some people we know are always going to be in prison and they probably deserve to be there. But there's also the people that had gotten tougher sentences that are going to be in there for a long time and maybe don't need to necessarily be there. I don't know. I mean, I'm not the judge. I don't you know, I wasn't on the jury. I don't know those type of things. But I think until that we can make it so that we're working towards educating, I think education, we have that whole issue with this. We could talk about it for hours about the school to prison pipeline, you know, that we have healthier conditions in the prisons for everybody that's impacted. I mean, those include the people that work in the prisons. And I think that there's also a huge financial cost that we don't talk about. I mean, so, you know, we said 95% of the people get out of prison. I mean, people have a tough time getting a job, housing, transportation, you know, they've been incarcerated. I mean, I was looking at the figures the other day, and in the United States, we spend about $32,000 a year to incarcerate somebody. That money can be better spent, I would think, to educate, provide better health care. I was talking to someone, one of the groups the other day, and they're really working to be able to provide health care when somebody has been released from prison. How huge is that? I mean, those are the types of things that people can hear about at the conference, because people are sharing information. And so I think that that's, you know, that's very important. And we don't want to say that there's not victims, because there's also a, you know, an issue when it comes to victims. There's also a cost there. If a person comes out and reoffends, that person is re-victimized. You know, there's healthcare costs, there's lost wages. I mean, PTSD, you know, on that's impacting them. And so I think it's really important that we, you know, we've got just a lost productivity of people that have been incarcerated. So they could be helping our society. There's a lot of very smart individuals that are in prison.
Can you talk for, I know that the focus of the conference is especially about families. What role do families play in the lives of adults in custody? How important is it for them to be connected with their loved ones in prison? And what are some of the unique challenges that families of adults in custody face?
Well, COVID, I think, really highlighted that for a lot of people, right? I mean, we were all stuck in our own homes, right? It wasn't anything like being in prison, but, you know, you're away from your loved ones, you're away from your family members. For both sides. So it's not just that person that's incarcerated. I mean, if you think about our federal system, you think about the fact that people are sentenced and they're sent to another state. So they don't have that opportunity to have those relationships. You know, it's over the telephone. And Zoom is great. I mean, it's great to see you. It's great to have those connections, but it's different than when you and I go out and have a cup of coffee, right? There's just a different interaction. And so, you know, I think we've done some amazing things with the telephone, you know, that we can see people now, but I think that people really have to have that human connection. And I think that that's what's the most important. Yeah. Can you imagine I can't imagine not seeing my family members. I mean, I'm going to get to hug them all late, actually in a couple of days, they're all flying in, obviously. So, you know, I'm excited about that. And there is that excitement, and you're planning meals together and you're really kind of working towards family, whereas it's very difficult when somebody's incarcerated. And, you know, there was 2-year period that people didn't physically see their family member, and not all prisons or jails have video calls. So you can't even have that.
What about for family members themselves? What kind of issues do they face when they have a loved one who's incarcerated?
Well, there's a huge financial cost. Obviously, there's expenses, you know, so for the families of inmates, they're struggling to cover the cost of phone calls, visitation, the expenses associated with staying in touch with that loved one, the impact that, you know, you may have had a 2-family income and now you no longer have that. And, you know, the cost of education, you know, I mean, there's just a huge cost. And like I said, I mean, that school to prison pipeline, right? So that person's going to get out of prison and then what? You know, and I can't imagine if I'm in a relationship with somebody and then they're gone for 3 to 5 years, how's that going to impact me? You know, so.
In your mission, it says that you work to promote awareness, understanding, empathy, healing, positive change, and more by bringing together law enforcement, advocacy groups, educators, prisoner families, and community members. How does that work in reality? I mean, how does it really work when you try to bring together law enforcement, prisoners' families, advocacy groups? I mean, people who all have very different agendas. How does that actually work when you get them together in a room?
And that's what we're trying to do on the 4th with you know, Carrie Carbonone, she doesn't have a loved one that's incarcerated. She understands from a big picture the impact of incarceration. She's not directly in it. And I think sometimes you need somebody that's not directly in it to be a facilitator to start bringing people together. And all we can do is make the first step. We can put out our hand and we can say, please join us. We're not trying to fight with anybody. What we're trying to do is to bring people together. And I've heard a lot of things. I mean, I've heard when I started to reach out to groups and said, this is what we want to do. I heard directly from people that it's us versus them. And until we change that mentality, it's never going to change. I mean, I heard basically that we don't want to be associated with the police department. I've heard from groups that are working with people with incarceration or just even community groups. We don't want to be alongside with the police department. We don't want to be. And until we can change that around, that we have to, you know, the people are saying, oh, we have to create legislation in order to make any changes. And that might be true, but until we can, you know, again, extend our hand out and say, hey, can we sit down at the table and have a conversation about it? To put legislation over anything, there's good laws, there's bad laws, right? So we can be putting more bad laws into impact because they're talking about community safety. And I worked for a state legislator at one point. I heard them, not her, but I heard them say in that facility that we will not vote back against a crime bill. We won't vote against it. And I'm like, it's a bad crime bill. And they're like, yeah, but it's an election year. And that's what we're working towards is getting people elected. And people do want us to be tough on crime. And so, you know, you have, you know, there's bad measures. I mean, even in your state, right? I'm sure you have some bad bills that have impacted the families further down the road because people didn't sit down and have a conversation with it. So there's that. We've heard also people that, you know, that we have to shame the law enforcement in order to make a difference. Now, some people may believe that. I personally don't. I'm not speaking for the organization as a whole, but we really want to bring community together. So I'm assuming that all my board members are going to back me on that. We really want to work together. And until we can work together, we can't make a difference.
Great, thanks. We just have a couple of minutes left in the show, so I just want to make sure we get back to the event that's happening. Can you tell us again, this is Fostering Community Connections. So when is that going to be? Where is it going to be? Who's it for?
So it's going to be on May 4th from 9 to noon. It's going to be at Tabor Space in the dining room area, in the lower dining room area. We're asking people to register, and you can go online to prisonersfamilyconference.org to get a little bit more information, or you can email me at info@prisonersfamilyconference.org, and I'll be happy to sign you up.
Great, thanks. Kayla, in the last couple of minutes, is there anything that we haven't really touched on yet that you'd like to get across to people about the event, why they should come, or about the upcoming conference? So when is the Prisoners Family Conference going to be?
So the Prisoners Family Conference is going to be October 18th through the 20th, and we are also accepting a call for presentations at this point, too. There's more information on our website, which is prisonersfamilyconference.org. Or again, you can contact me at info@prisonersconference.org, and we'll be happy to send you the information on that.
Thanks. And just one last time, who are you encouraging to come to this conference Tabor Space?
Yeah, Tabor Space. Well, we're talking about, advocacy groups, educators, former prisoners would be, have been in the audience, families with a loved one that's incarcerated, just local residents, anybody that's worried about is passionate about creating a safer space and maybe a more cohesive community.
Great. Kayla Victor with the International Prisoners Family Conference. Thanks so much for joining us today on Prison Pipeline.
Thanks.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be
listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2H2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
That's Doc Watson, one of the many artists you can hear on the Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, when we share a wide variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music with you from 5:30 to 7 a.m. Each week, your hosts Dan Schrammick and Stephen Morrison bring you some of our favorite new releases and plenty of vintage favorites. It's a great way to start your Fridays, discover some new music, and find out about shows and festivals coming to the area. You can also find show playlists and listen to archive shows on demand via our website at kboo.fm. And also via our free mobile app.